local radio back to Central PA, and you can take advantage. Thanks again for listening to 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox College.
It is time for a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers with you. You can call me Ironhead, and you can call me at 814-954-7266 if there's anything on your mind on this Tuesday morning. Lots to get into this morning. There's a lot going on out there. If you watched the World Series game in its entirety last night, and you're still listening to me right now, congratulations. And also, at some point, dude or dudette, you need to get some sleep. We will have more on the epic World Series game from last night coming up a little bit later. I am dreading this weekend because it is, well, parking remains the bane of my existence. I don't know why we go out of our way to make parking as difficult as we do in society in general, but man, in State College and on the Penn State campus in particular, seems like maybe you ought to try to welcome people into your area. No, we will make you feel badly about coming into our area. And it's just the aggravation of it. Man, they were out in force at the Real American Freestyle event on Saturday night. Hey, you better not be parking with your front end out. We'll get you, because the $20 we already robbed from you isn't enough. Yeah, $20 now for the everyday events. There ought to be some sort of criminal citation that should be issued for that. And then, again, when it is dark early and it's an especially dark night, why they are going out of their way to make that as dangerous a situation as you possibly can for people going in and out of that lot. Good God. Figure it out. It's not hard. Just give a little pass. Let people in. Oh, no, but there might be somebody already in there. All right, you might miss out on $10 here and there. Good God. Now I got myself worked up already. And that isn't even where I was trying to go. I was trying to go to daylight saving time, which we also need to do away with. Can we please just stop already? I thought Trump, you know, promises made, promises kept. He's done a pretty good job of that, but not yet on the daylight saving time. Can we just please do away with this? Now, yes, that being said, I will take the extra hour of sleep this weekend. That will be nice. But we need to do away with this. We should have done away with this a long, long time ago. There is no reason. Not only is there no good reason, there just is no reason, period. Good or bad, for us to have daylight saving time. Stop it! Stop messing with the clocks. Again, if you, well, Ironhead, we want it to be more in sync with life. Fine. Have your workplace go to work from 7 to 4 some days, 8 to 5 others, 7:30 to 4:30, whatever. You can change the school day. It's start time for these months is this time. Start time in these months is this. Fine. But quit messing with the actual clocks. You can adjust your schedule. That's what we're all being forced to do with the daylight saving time. Stop. Please. Let this be the last daylight saving time we have to worry about. Somebody do something about this. Please. Like yesterday. We were watching a couple of, I call them interesting, Halloween-themed shows and movies over the weekend. And the one, it just got me to thinking. And different people get worked up about this kind of stuff. And I never have. And I don't know that we had, I have to ask my folks. I don't really remember, like, being specifically told, all right, dude, you're not going trick-or-treating this year. You're too old. I think it was just kind of a, yeah, all right, I think we're good. We don't need to go around this year. Now, I had a younger sister, 3 years younger than me. And so I really don't even remember. I feel like we probably went around with her for a couple of years. And me as a high schooler trying to pretend I'm an adult, and it's like, yeah, I'm too old for this stuff, but I can hang around and watch. But just curious, a couple of questions for you as we get ready for trick-or-treating on Friday night. First of all, let your kids trick-or-treat. Don't get into the whole, don't be a buzzkill. It's a fun event. Don't get caught up in the what this does or doesn't mean in the overall. It's just fun. Let kids dress up, go around and collect candy. If you are handing something out, in one of the movies that we were watching, they did have the dreaded house that handed out toothbrushes. Do not be that house. I know the kids need to brush their teeth. It's a lot of all of that. Let the parents worry about that. You, as the provider of the treats, you need to provide something that the kids want. And the kids don't want the toothbrush. Well, yeah, but their parents might. No, nope, 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 nope. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Just hand out some wonderful candy. We actually went out and got our candy stockpiled yesterday. Mr. Bastardi was not lying. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, mentioned that he had spent, $75, $80 on Halloween candy. And, yep, that's about what it is if you have a neighborhood that has a bunch of trick-or-treaters, as ours does. But I am curious, if you're a parent or even if you're a parent-to-be, shall we say, your thoughts. Is there a specific age when it's like, all right, kids shouldn't be? Does it bother you if you see, like, high school kids coming around? Now, I'll admit, I have not, now we've been out with our kiddo for each of the trick-or-treat seasons here over the last, 7 years? 7 or 8 years, I guess, now. And so we usually have my mom and aunt usually come over, sometimes my in-laws as well, and they kind of handle the door duties at our house while we traipse about the neighborhood collecting the candy. They're handing out the candy. So I have not been at home to hand out the candy. And even when I was single, it just seemed that most trick-or-treat nights, I had to be away. I was working somewhere most of the time. There were a couple of nights I can remember where I was home and handed out the candy, but usually just left a bowl out in front of my place, had one of the neighbors just keep an eye and give them some refill stockpiles, and they would be kind enough to do that. But I never got the couple of times where I was home. If you're a high school kid, clearly in high school, and you're coming around, truthfully, even college age, it's okay. I mean, what does it matter? You're handing out a couple of extra pieces of candy. Some people get worked up about it. I have some friends that it's like, those people, they shouldn't be trick-or-treating. It's one night where you can have a little fun. You might have to splurge another, well, these days, $6, $12. Okay. Not that big of a deal in the overall scheme of things. If it's making some folks happy, so be it. Generally speaking, I do think most, kind of on their own, and with the trick-or-treating in the early teen years. I really don't remember. I don't remember there being like peer pressure. The one movie we watch, it's like, dude, we're too old. I'm too cool. The one kid was getting ready to go out, and then one of his buddies is like, oh, you're not actually trick-or-treating. And so he kind of got pressured into that. I don't ever remember. Maybe we did have it. I don't recall the peer pressure on, hey, that's not cool to go around trick-or-treating. It just kind of, all right, I'm good with or without it. Some folks get really into the holiday each year. Some folks not so much. We're kind of in between at our house. We still have not put up the Halloween decorations. Our schedule these last couple of weekends has been a little chaotic. So I'm not 100% sure we're going to get around to it. We have busy evening tonight. I'm trying to think. There might be a chance tomorrow night that we could actually just get some things up for at least the trick-or-treat night. Make our house look a little Halloweenish anyway. But what I had not thought of previously, and I have a couple of friends now and another person we ran into doing the scouting for food, that they're like, yeah, we provide adult beverages for the adults in the neighborhood, a special treat. And I'm like, well, that is a fine idea. Now, if you provided it for all of the adults in our neighborhood, that is also a very expensive idea. But I like the gesture. And just curious if folks out there do that, provide that opportunity for the adults. Again, you don't... probably would not be good to have every house doing that. All right, Chuck, another one, Chuck. We're going to get the kids to the next house. But, I mean, having a house or two that offer that in a neighborhood, probably makes it a little more fun for the adults. I don't know why our house is so popular, honey. Does sound like the weather could be a little dicey for the trick-or-treating here on Friday night. So dress accordingly. And, yeah, don't don't send your kids out there flying solo. I mean, I suppose if they're, I don't know what, 12, 13, and they're in a group maybe, but generally I think you want to have an adult with the kiddos as they are going around, at least an adult. Now, if you have a group and it's just one of the parents, I think that's fine, depending on the age group we're talking about. But just to keep an eye on things, I think probably not a bad idea. And again, it does look like I think pretty much everywhere now is conforming to the 6 to 8. There might be a couple of places that are very slightly differing in the hours, but 6 to 8 Friday seems to be pretty rock solid throughout the area here. And again, just be a little careful. Could get some rain. Looks like it will be windy, so make your costume adjustments if need be accordingly. Probably be a pretty cool night to have a costume with a cape, one of the superheroes. The cape should be kind of flying off the back, which would be a cool visual effect and probably pretty fun for the kiddos wearing said costumes. Should be a lot of fun. Interesting on the financial front, still a lot of folks very nervous, and I think to a large degree, understandably so. But stock markets, again, hitting new highs yesterday. And overall, while the prices are not going down, have you noticed that? Overall, things seem to be steadying out, and I think overall it's all relative, I suppose, but it feels like we're in pretty good shape, at least at the moment. President meeting with the troops this morning. I actually will get into sports here in the next segment. I fell asleep last night watching right after the Penguins game, so I'm flipping around between the Mighty Penguins, Monday Night Football, and the World Series. It was a good channel-flipping night for yours truly. But I succumbed to the need to sleep pretty immediately after the Penguins game ended. I'm like, all right, feeling good about that. I don't even remember what inning the World Series was in when last I checked. I don't think I went back to it after the Penguins game ended. I think I just crashed. And I woke up at about 2:30. Fell asleep on the couch, TV on. I wake up at 2:30, and I'm flipping around, and there's the baseball game. And I'm like, huh, they must be replaying this from earlier in the night. And then I'm looking, and it says I catch what I thought I saw, 17th inning. Now, they go to commercial break. Math is never my strong suit to begin with, but I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, wait, could this really be live? And did I see that right? Was it 17th inning or was that 7th? I swore I saw one. And they come back and, hey, we're in the top of the 18th now. And I'm like, wait a second, I think this is still going. And it was. And so I saw the end of the epic baseball game. Missed a large stretch of it, but I actually just happened to stumble into the final inning, as it turned out, of the big game last night. Hurricane Melissa hitting Jamaica today. Category 5 storm, not good. It's already, before we headed into the morning hours this morning, I haven't gotten the update here. I'll do a little Google searching, but they already had 7 deaths, 3 in Haiti, 1 in the Dominican Republic, and 3 in Jamaica. That was as of, that was around 2:30. I decided while I was up, I'd do just a little searching on what was happening out there in the news. And so today, though, is the consequential day for Jamaica. And the good news for the United States is, again, the path is going to take it back out away from the United States. A couple of other just news and notes. U.S. Department of Energy has signed a $1 billion partnership with Advanced Micro Devices to develop 2 next-generation artificial intelligence supercomputers. That'll be at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. Those systems will accelerate research in areas like nuclear fusion, medical science, which includes a bunch of different cancer treatments they're working on, and national security. I was watching, I guess it was a podcast. It was a really interesting discussion on artificial intelligence and the degree to which it is going to change our lives. Folks probably even 80 and under, in our lifetime, transformational changes that I think it's going to be very hard for those of us that are on the older end of that spectrum to get our minds around. And I think initially it's going to blow everybody's mind, but in terms of what the workforce is going to look like, how we're going to go about living our daily lives, what's going to be provided, what's not going to be provided. There's not much that's not going to be provided. It really is amazing how quickly and how far we are advancing with some of these technologies. And to the degree that the one person on this panel discussion on this podcast, the one part, and I don't think anybody really disagreed, but the one person is like, yeah, we're not actually going to need to go to the store to purchase the items that we want. We're just going to order them, and it's not even that they're going to be delivered. It's going to be that they are just, I don't know, come out of the machine at your house. Hey, I'd like a gallon of milk. Voila, there's the milk. Now, I don't completely, I'm not sure that's completely accurate, but I'm also not sure that it's not. It is, again, just hard to get your mind, at least for me, around how drastically things are going to change and how easy life is going to become in terms of satisfying your needs and really just your wants moving forward. Couple of other things just real quick. There's Amazon, and this is making their stockholders happy, but not the employees so much. Amazon reportedly ready to announce the largest corporate layoffs in company history. About 30,000 people are expected to be laid off. The layoffs are expected to start today. Already about 27,000 workers have been laid off since 2022. But again, this would be about that many or even more expected to be laid off here in short order over the next couple of weeks starting today. And again, a lot of this has to do with AI and being able to get the work done as effectively or more effectively, more efficiently than what we humans can do. I don't know. It's worth keeping an eye on. There are people, very smart people, that are out there getting ahead of this. I'm just trying to keep up, trying to keep an eye on it. I'm just not sure I have the capacity to truly understand how all of this works or exactly what it is going to mean for all of us. A couple of other things we'll get to a little bit later in the program. Again, Jake Corman will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Longtime state senator from Pennsylvania, gubernatorial candidate at one point. Jake kind enough to offer to come in for the 9 o'clock hour today. We're going to talk just state government, how things work or maybe don't work in some cases within our our political system here in the Keystone State. Should be an interesting discussion. And again, really appreciative of Jake Corman offering us the opportunity to talk to him about that this morning. And Jake will be here for the 9 o'clock hour. We'll take a break here, and we will have a check of sports. Oh, man, what a night in the sports world last night. We'll run it all down when we come back. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Did Shohei Ohtani just get on base again?
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544. To help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world. Too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff Weyer is with you, and we take a check of sports in the second segment of the big show each morning, and this happens to be the aforementioned second segment. And so we're going to take a check of sports, see how it all works. Penn State football, interim head coach Terry Smith, with some encouraging news on the injury front ahead of this Saturday's big matchup at top-ranked Ohio State. Smith says both guard Vega Ioane and defensive end Zariah Fisher should be available to play on Saturday against the Buckeyes. Smith said there was no update on backup quarterback Jackson Smolik's status for Saturday. If Smolik can't go, Beckham Kritza will be the backup quarterback on Saturday. Smith says he's been pleased with the energy and the progress made by the squad during the bye week. Ohio State, of course, 7-0, ranked number one in the country. Kickoff Saturday set for 12 noon. The game will be on Fox's Big Noon Saturday. Penn State looking to snap a four-game losing skid now, sitting at 3-4 overall, 0-4 in Big Ten games this season. We also do know that we won't know when kickoff for Indiana will be until this weekend. It'll be either, we'll learn the kickoff time either Saturday night or early Sunday. Kickoff time will be set in the 6-day window. That'll be the first home game of the post-James Franklin era, and that'll be a week from Saturday, November 8th at Beaver Stadium. The Nittany Lions will host second-ranked Indiana, again, 1 week from Saturday, but we won't know the kickoff time again until this weekend. The sixth-seeded Penn State women's soccer team does know its opponent now in the Big Ten tournament. It'll be UCLA, the 3-seed that Penn State will face out of the gate. The Nittany Lions go in as the number 6-seed. Penn State's game will be Saturday night. The other three quarterfinal matchups will be on Sunday. There will be a couple of first-round games on, Wednesday this week. The quarterfinal matchup will be played at 7:30 Saturday night at Folk Field at Purdue for Penn State and UCLA. Saturday night, 7:30 at Purdue for Penn State and UCLA in women's soccer Big Ten quarterfinal action. Penn State men's hockey team is back up to number 4 in the coaches' poll this week. Michigan State remains number 1. Michigan is now 2nd. Western Michigan 3rd. Those two teams split a pair of games, but Michigan jumps Western Michigan in the rankings. Boston University is now 5th, falling back below Penn State. The 7-1 Nittany Lions getting ready to open up Big Ten play at Ohio State this weekend. Also, the 10-0 Penn State women's hockey team holding steady at number 6 in the coaches' poll this week, and the Penn State women's volleyball team slipping one spot, checking in at number 19 now in the coaches' poll this week. Last night in the District 6, AA boys soccer semifinals, Bald Eagle Area battled the number 1 seed to a scoreless tie at the end of regulation, but Juniata got the overtime goal to pull out the 1-0 victory. Juniata advances to the championship game. Equal heartbreak for Penns Valley last night. The Rams also losing in overtime, 1-0 to West Shamokin. So the Eagles and Rams both see their seasons come to an end in heartbreaking fashion. Again, both losing in the quarterfinal or in the semifinals last night, 1-0 in the District 6 AA playoffs. Juniata and West Shamokin will now meet each other for the District 6 championship game on Thursday. The Bellefonte boys soccer team will play for the District 6 AAA championship tonight. The Red Raiders are the 2 seed, and Bellefonte will take on the number 1 seed Hollidaysburg tonight for the District 6 title. That championship game will get underway at 6:30, kickoff at Phillipsburg Osceola High School this evening. Also tonight, Hollidaysburg will play Tyrone for the District 6 AAA girls soccer championship. That game will be an 8:00 kickoff also at Phillipsburg Osceola. In the District 6 single A championship game, it'll be Bishop Carroll versus Westmont Hilltop tonight in a 7:00 start at Greater Johnstown High School. In the District 6 AAA girls volleyball semifinals last night, Bellefonte falling to top-seeded Central Mountain 3-0. The Wildcats sweeping the match 25-16, 25-8, and 25-23. Central Mountain will now play Hollidaysburg, which swept Somerset last night, in the championship match tomorrow night. Tonight, the Bald Eagle Area girls volleyball team will host Penns Valley in the District 6 AA quarterfinals. That match will get underway at 7 p.m. in Wingate this evening. The winner will advance to the semifinals Thursday against the winner of tonight's match between Huntingdon and Central Cambria. Bishop McCourt wrestler Jackson Forrest winning an under-23 world championship at 61 kilos yesterday, and the United States takes first place in the team competition. Forrest, an Oklahoma State recruit, won a wild 17-14 match over his opponent, Asan Ulu, Omerbek Asan Ulu of Kyrgyzstan in the finals. Kyrgyzstan, no D at the end. I don't know why I added the D. I apologize. Kyrgyzstan Ulu was the under-17 world champion last year. And again, those two put on a show. 17-14, the final. Forrest wins it, and that helps secure the United States victory. Forrest joining the 3 Penn State wrestlers, Luke Lilledahl, Mitchell Messenbrink, and Levi Haynes, as gold medalists for the United States in the 2025 under-23 world championships. Job well done. Pittsburgh Penguins, speaking of a job well done, Penguins pulling away in the third period for a 6-3 victory over the St. Louis Blues last night. Sidney Crosby had a goal and 2 assists. Brian Rust added 2 goals and an assist. And Eric Karlsson had 3 assists. Tristan Jarry made 26 saves, for the victory, Crosby becoming just the ninth player in NHL history to hit the 1,700-point milestone. 1,700 points now in his career. Penguins will be right back at it. The second of their three games in 4 days will be tonight in Philadelphia against the Flyers. Game is scheduled for a 6 o'clock start. Note the earlier start time, 6 o'clock for the Penguins and the Flyers tonight in Philadelphia. Penguins are off to a 7-2-1 start and are second right now in the Metropolitan Division behind the Devils. The Flyers come in at 4-3-1 on the season. It was truly an epic Game 3 in the World Series last night in Los Angeles. The Dodgers beating the Blue Jays in 18 innings, 6-5. It is just the second time that a World Series game went 18 innings. The other was back in 2018, also a Game 3 between the Dodgers and the Red Sox. Freddie Freeman, once again, the postseason hero. Freeman belted the walk-off home run to end it after 6 hours and 39 minutes of baseball last night. It was 2:50 Eastern time this morning when that game ended. Shohei Ohtani continues to make history. He hit two home runs and two doubles. He had three RBI. That was through his first four plate appearances. He is just the second player to have four extra base hits in a World Series game. The other, of course, Frank Isbell for the White Sox. That was in 1906. Good heavens. Ohtani, with his four extra base hits, that was in his first four at-bats. He then drew five consecutive walks. He reached base nine times in the World Series game. And yes, that is a record. The previous record for most times safely on base in a World Series game was six. So he tied the record when he got on base for the sixth time. He broke the record when he got on base for the seventh time, broke his own record when he got on base for the eighth time, and set a standard that I dare say will never be matched. Nine times he safely reached base in a World Series game. Truly remarkable. Ohtani is scheduled to get the start tonight. In Game 4, it was pretty funny. At the end of the game last night, they're interviewing him through the interpreter, and they're like, you know, man, great game tonight. It's got to take a little something out of you. You're scheduled to pitch coming up. Actually, now it'll be later today. And he's like, yeah, I want to go home and get some sleep. Thank you. Man, what a postseason he is having. Records are dropping left and right. He is just historically great. Dodgers now lead the best-of-seven series 2-1. Game 4 will get underway a little after 8 o'clock tonight. The Dodgers, again, hosting Games 4 and 5. Feels like kind of a must-win now for the Blue Jays. Shohei Ohtani can lead the Dodgers to what would be a controlling 3-1 lead if they can win the game tonight in the World Series. Also last night, the Kansas City Chiefs rolling to a 28-7 win over the Washington Commanders. Patrick Mahomes completed 25 of 34 passes for 299 yards and three touchdowns. He did have a couple of interceptions as well, but Commanders had trouble getting their offense going. Travis Kelce with six receptions for 99 yards and a touchdown for the Chiefs last night. Also some I don't know what is going on in Pittsburgh this year. Last night at the hockey game, after the Penguins' second goal of the game, Anthony Mantha scored it, a fan fell from the upper level of PPG Paints Arena. And last I checked here this morning, he was in the hospital with what they were calling life-threatening injuries. Fell from the upper level, apparently hit somebody in the suite below him on the way down. Apparently that person was not significantly injured. According to the story I saw, that person was tended to by medical staff, but said he was good, didn't want any treatment. The man fell below, again, several people apparently rushed to help. They did get medical staff there very quickly, got him to the hospital, but not sure as of this morning if he is going to make it. But what is going on? If you missed it over the weekend, we had the worker at Acrisure Stadium fell from the scoreboard there before the Steelers game on Sunday. That was Saturday night that he fell. And I think it looks like he's going to be okay. If you remember, we had the fan fall from the right field stands at PNC Park. That got a lot of attention over the summer. So we've had somebody fall from each of the sports venues, professional sports venues in Pittsburgh here this year. That is just bizarre. Not a lot of details that that I've seen. I suspect we'll learn more today on this incident with the Penguins game last night. Don't have any idea, and I'm not sure how reliable. If you remember with the fall at PNC Park, we got some differing accounts of what happened or the state of the individual that fell ahead of time. So nothing verifiable. Actually, very little reported on that, and I don't think the identity, at least as of about 6:30 this morning, the identity of the man who fell last night at the Penguins game had not been released. Again, I suspect we'll get more details today, and certainly prayers going out to the individual who fell. Again, they are saying life-threatening injuries as of this morning. And one final note, Lady Lion basketball team getting ready for its season. The 12-game home schedule has now had the promotional events surrounding it released as well. Lady Lions will get the season started on November 3rd at the Bryce Jordan Center. And the game against Bucknell will also begin the promotional schedule. The three events in November, they'll have the military appreciation game against Cincinnati on November 7th, field trip day contest against Coppin State on Wednesday, November 12th. Enjoy that one there, kiddos. There'll be a Pride Day match against Yale on November 30th. Penn State will have the Big Ten home opener against Nebraska on December 6th, and will close out 2025 with the New Year's Eve game against UCLA. Penn State will hold the We Back Pat game against Illinois on January 11th, and then will host Rutgers for the annual Whiteout game. That'll be on January 18th. National Girls and Women in Sports Day against Minnesota will be on January 26th. And then the final three promotional games will take place in February. Lady Lions will host Michigan State for the Black History Month Awareness Game on February 7th. The Pink Zone game against Northwestern on February 15th. And then the Senior Day game against USC on February 25th. Penn State, again, will be looking to bounce back from a disappointing season a year ago, going 10-19 and winning just one game in Big Ten action. Again, Penn State will open up the season November 3rd at the Bryce Jordan Center against Bucknell. A couple of other just quick notes. Again, Pittsburgh Steelers will be back in action on Sunday as the Steelers get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts. And Steelers reportedly signing Marquez Valdez-Scantling and the 31-year-old wide receiver reportedly worked out for the Steelers yesterday. He was recently released by the 49ers. They had placed him on injured reserve with a calf injury. Valdez-Scantling choosing to sign with the 49ers practice squad this past summer. He had been considering joining the Steelers at that time, but this will reunite him with Aaron Rodgers. The two played together in Green Bay for the first four seasons of Valdez-Scantling's career. So not sure how significant that could end up being for the Steelers, but a signing nonetheless at the wide receiver spot for the Steelers ahead of the matchup with the Colts this weekend. Take a break here, a little open phone time when we come back. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, the Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. A little open phone time here at 814-954-7266. A friend of our kiddos is a big Blue Jays fan. I'll be curious to know and learn today how late he stayed up. I cannot imagine 10 years old that he was able to stay all the way to the end. He is a diehard Blue Jays fan, has been from the time we met him when he was, what, probably 5 years old. And, I mean, he is locked in. But 2:50 a.m. our time is when that game ended last night. And just because of my ridiculous sleeping habits, I actually got to see the end of it. Probably missed about, I think it was 4-3 last time I checked in on it. So, I don't know, probably the sixth, seventh inning, somewhere in there is the last I saw it until I actually saw the entire 18th inning and Freddie Freeman's big blast to end what was truly a game for the ages. Instant classic, if you will. And, again, Shohei Ohtani is just you knew he was a great player, an all-time great. I'm not sure that there's even an argument now, with all due respect to Babe Ruth and whoever else you want to put in the discussion. I'm not sure there's much of a debate anymore about who the all-time greatest baseball player in history is. And, again, Ohtani coming off a night where he gets on base 9 times and has 2 home runs, 2 doubles, now gets the start on the mound for Game 4 in the World Series tonight for the Dodgers. Coming up tomorrow, John Ziegler is going to join us, and we're going to talk, really delve into the Jerry Sandusky case and some recent developments, including his interview with one of the so-called victims, Ryan Rittmeyer's wife. I think they're officially divorced now. I guess ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife. But Rittmeyer has recanted the majority of his accusations against Sandusky. His wife or ex-wife says that she has absolutely no doubt whatsoever after really delving into this, that Sandusky is innocent, should be exonerated, and a really interesting interview. If you've not seen it, it is a lengthy interview. She does come across really well, very genuine, somebody that has done some research, had some questions, and the more she delved into it, which has been the case. I mean, that's how Frank Parlato got involved. The folks that are taking the time to actually examine this case, they keep coming away with the same conclusion. John Sneddon, the investigator who came to decide whether or not Graham Spanier should be continuing to receive clearance, and he went back to his bosses. He's like, well, yeah, of course he should, because there's nothing there. Like, not only did Graham not do anything wrong, the initial accusations here don't add up at all. And yeah, Jerry Sandusky's innocent, so of course Spanier should remain with top level clearances. There's no problem whatsoever there. And again, just time and time again, the folks that are actually spending time really looking into this case, not the keyboard warriors who have opinions on everything, they're fine. Oh, you guys are protecting a pedophile. No, actually just examining the case, seeing what does and doesn't make sense. And it is amazing that time and time and time and time again, the folks who are really looking at this are coming to the same conclusion time and time and time again. But we'll talk with John Ziegler. A lot of work that he has been doing. I know he and he and Frank Parlato are not on the same page, but they are very much fighting, albeit maybe in different ways, for the same objective, and they've come to the very same conclusion again after a lot of hours of work in working on this particular case. But John will join us. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow. Always look forward to catching up with Mr. Ziegler, and I suspect we'll he'll have a lot to say. We'll learn some things along the way. That just tends to be the case when we have John Ziegler on. So that'll be tomorrow's show in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll take a break here. Jake Corman will join us. We're going to talk state government here in Pennsylvania and kick around some ideas, things that work, things that don't work, partisan politics, all of that good stuff when we come back for our final hour of Let's Talk on this Tuesday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
WFXX, once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Good looking Tuesday. Again, we do have rain coming in here Wednesday, Thursday, and then going to hang around a little bit on Friday. Hopefully, we get a pretty dry 6 to 8 period for the trick-or-treating on Friday night. Jake reached out to me, probably about 2.5 years ago, I feel like now, saying, hey, if you ever want me to come in and talk state government, and it's one of those things I kept, it was on the back burner. I'm like, one of these days, and ran into you at the, Center County Sports Hall of Fame event. It's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to follow up finally on this. So thank you for the offer, sure. And thank you for,
absolutely.
Putting up with my procrastination, but we appreciate your coming in. For folks that don't know, maybe just give a little bit of your background.
Sure.
Again, we're going to have some folks that have probably moved into the area, like Jake Quarterman.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Fair. 100% fair. So lived in Bellefonte all my life. Raised my, I grew up there, raised my children there. Still live there. I ran for the state senate in 1998, served 24 years in the General Assembly, 6 years as appropriations chairman, 6 years as the majority leader, and in the last 2 years as the president pro tem, retired in 2022. Since then, I've started a new business where legislators go to die called One Plus Strategies. It's a government affairs business in Harrisburg with several other individuals, and so we're still involved in state government.
Now, what do you do now? Explain a little
sure.
bit more.
Sure. Well, I do a lot of business consulting. You know, one thing about being in state legislature for 24 years and being a leader is you meet a lot of people around the state. And so a lot of people have paid me as a consultant to help them meet with other people that I know. I could set up meetings, get them to be able to make their pitch in front of them for their business, so to speak. I have one in State College later today. And just go around and do that. Now, the other part of our job, which is a much larger part, is we're government affairs officials, or lobbyists, for lack of a better term. So we have clients that want us to try to advocate for them on their behalf in front of state government to try to either accomplish a legislative goal, accomplish maybe getting a grant, accomplish something of that nature, going through regulatory process with one of the departments. Any interaction you may have with state government that you feel like you need help in interacting with state government, we can help.
I'll just broad question. Your take on where we're at right now in Harrisburg, just with state government, the way it's working or not working, just your overall assessment with how things are running.
Well, as far as the budget goes, I think they're close. All the tea leaves are that are getting closer. The big change that happened during my time was like in 2005 or 6 when I was first there, when July 1st hit, everything stopped. You couldn't pay employees, state parks would close, everything except for essential services like prisons, state police, that kind of stuff. It all stopped. And so I spent a few 4th of Julys in Harrisburg because we hadn't gotten a budget done, and you just didn't go home. You had to stay there until you got it accomplished because everything stops. So in about 2005, I think it was, there was a court ruling. The state employees unions took them the state to court and said there's no such thing as non-essential employees. If you can pay state police and you can pay corrections, you can pay all of us. And the court ruled, yes, you could, because revenue is still coming in to the state, right? But what that did, though, I understand why they advocated on that behalf, but what that did, it took the crisis away. And so, therefore, you can just sort of let it linger on. Because everything's still going on. I mean, how many people in Center County really are affected by this, this fact that we don't have a budget now in late October? Probably not a lot in their day-to-day lives. I mean, the school districts are starting to get a pinch. Social services are getting a pinch. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who are hurting, but the large, vast percentage don't really notice it. And so, therefore, it's not a big deal. Like when they had the SEPTA sort of crisis and they solved it, well, that took, another impetus off the table that they had to worry about. Now, there's still a lot of others, like Fullington Bus Company. They do all the rural routes. They're one of the few companies that do rural routes, town to town. And they get subsidized for that because, quite frankly, you cannot make you can't do it without subsidy. But it's important for the state to have that, that lower income sort of opportunity for people to get around the state. Well, they're not getting a subsidy during this time because of this. There's no state, you know, they're not paying vendors. And so they're hurting because they signed a contract that said you'll still provide that service even though you're not getting paid for it. So there are people hurting, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just the day-to-day for most people, it doesn't impact them because that court ruling. And so you know, Pennsylvania is the only state in the nation that has divided government. In some ways that can be good. In some ways, it has this. And so, and I think between that and the tight majorities, the House being a one vote majority, the Senate being a two vote majority, it makes it harder to sort of get to a final compromise. And you also have a governor that is probably not as, persuasive and active as previous governors like an Ed Rendell. Now Tom Wolf wasn't particularly, so I think Shapiro's probably step up from there. You know, he's sort of like a Bill Clinton triangulating. He's just saying, well, look, I've introduced a budget. It's up to the legislature to pass a budget. You know, okay, I get that. He needs to be a little more involved, but he is now. As I said, I've heard they're getting close.
would it make a difference? Because I, like at the federal level, it's affecting people.
Sure.
But it's not affecting the legislators themselves. And this is one of the things that just, I have a feeling if, and I realize it's they that would have to pass this legislation, that's why we won't have it. But I do think if it was, hey, you don't get your paycheck until this is passed, I'll bet we would have an on-time budget every single year.
Well, point of, you know, when back to my earlier story, when I was first there and everything did stop, we didn't get paid. And I can actually remember a couple times going to my father, hey, can you float me? I mean, you'll get paid, and the state employees who come to work will get paid.
Right.
It will come after the budget's done. And, you know, here I am a state senator, you know, I'm in my 30s, and I'm going to my father and said, hey, can you float me a loan so I can make my mortgage payment? It has real life impact on an individual, both, and if you have a bunch of state employees not getting paid, and many of them in your constituency, you know, in your district, that's more, it's like, hey, we got to get this done. That forces sort of more of a compromise feeling as opposed to, I'm over here on this side and I'm not moving because I want to win this battle. And when you're really impacting people, including yourself, it's a major difference.
Do you have the feeling that the partisan politics is we always hear it's worse now than it's ever been? I'm like, well, we had a civil war. Like,
right.
I'm going to talk about it on the national front. Yeah. It's like, it's bad, to say it's the worst ever, I think we sometimes just lack big picture perspective on this stuff. I guess maybe the better way, how problematic is the partisan politics and the, hey, we need to get the win here instead of, hey, we need to solve the problem here attitude in Harrisburg?
The two things that have changed since I started wasn't there is the 24-hour news network and the internet because those two things drive opinion. The 24-hour news networks, that are not news, they're advocacy programs. Each side has their own channel, and they spend all day advocating, and that's more Washington, D.C. than Harrisburg, obviously. But between that and the internet, you can drive opinion. And so when you're sort of heading towards a compromise, which understand, and a lot of people don't get this, when you compromise means you're giving up something. You're giving your opponent something that you wouldn't normally give. And that's and vice versa. So whatever you give can be painful, so to speak. But that's part of the art of the deal. And, one of my mentors, a good friend, said, look, some of the best deals I ever made were I didn't get everything I wanted. They didn't get everything they wanted. But we made a deal, which made us had the ability to make another deal and then another deal. And you sort of figure out a way to work together. That was the way it was with Tom Wolf and myself. His first year as governor, I was my first year as majority leader. Our first budget didn't pass till February. The first 2 years we had a lot of difficulties together. But after that, we sort of found our way to work together. You know, we passed public pension reform, which was a significant piece of legislation. We passed liquor modernization. You know, we've got a lot of decent things done. We put records of levels of funding in education, which is something he wanted. So it took a while, but we finally got there. But the internet and that can drive opinion, which then drives that individual to get back to their safe zone. If they're getting pummeled by, you know, a lot of times calls and emails from outside their district, but it's nevertheless come in, that's probably the biggest difference. That's what drives the party politics, the partisanship more than I think than anything else.
Jake, my biggest problem has always been just the degree to which, and we've had current politicians come in and I think to some degree, varying degrees maybe, they share the frustration. But it is the power that some of these agencies have that, again, it's, I guess, ultimately given to them by the legislature. But they operate as their own little, my term, fiefdom, where it's like, hey, we will tell you what you – and, again, by – background with my family was in the taxi industry. Sure. And why, number one, that was under the Public Utilities Commission was always perplexing to me. And there were some good people in the PUC for sure, but they, I think to a large degree, and it's not just, again, I dealt with the PUC, but I just think a lot of these agencies, they sit around and they're like, hey, we have to justify our existence. And so here's some additional red tape that we'll create, because if we don't create something, it's going to look like we're just sitting here. And so they just create, and again, I've used the examples on air before, but I mean, the one they came out with was you can't have a dent more than 4 inches on your vehicle, anywhere in the vehicle. Well, why in the hell would it matter if in the back of your vehicle you had a 5-inch dent? Again, safety, yep, I want the vehicles to be safe. Making sure you're not ripping them off, that if you're telling folks that we're charging you $1.20 a mile, you're charging them $1.20 a mile and you're letting them know ahead of time, unlike what Uber currently does. But all of that stuff makes sense, but a lot of this stuff, and again, it's one agency here, one agency there, and this stuff, God, it is just tiresome for the business community, as I'm sure you're well aware.
I mean, that was probably something that we spent a good bit of time on in the district, is again, helping people navigate state government, and navigating the departments is a big part of that. You know, DEP, DGS, you name it, labor and industry. You know, when they were building car washes here in State College, we spent more time with labor and industry trying to get to the point where, you know, they would give them the occupancy permit to move forward. And it seemed like mind-numbing things that hoops that people had to jump through to set up a car wash. So, you know, the power of an administration is enormous. I mean, I know the governor signs bills, does budgets, things of that nature, but the power of the departments, yeah, are where the power lies. That's where an executive branch is so powerful. And that's why executive branches are term limited, where legislative branches aren't, because the power is so enormous there. And so, you know, I used to tell every governor when they first came into office, I went through a few of them, look, you could make Pennsylvania a much better place by just making Pennsylvania work better. I know it's not real sexy. It's not, you know, something you're signing a bill to. And I think Governor Shapiro sees some of that. I think, you know, he's trying to do permitting reform to get people's permits through the process sooner. I used to work with the Secretary of Transportation, Barry Shoke, who tried to do some of the similar things. You know, to get a highway occupancy permit, it's almost like legalized extortion. You know, PennDOT holds you up until they get everything that they want, and you can't, like, I can remember going through the process with Lowe's out here in State College.
Yep.
And it took forever, and you know, the developer's like, you're killing me. And so that power is enormous, and so you can either have a governor who's interested in that, which I think this governor is, to try to you know, navigate that easier for people, streamline it for people, or you can have a governor who doesn't care, and then that regulatory process can make policy that regulatory process, which never went through the legislature. And, a lot of these are regulations which are promulgated by the departments, which people don't necessarily read, and then all of a sudden they're there. And it's not something that goes through the legislative process. So that power is enormous, and it's significant to the impact. I would imagine people have more interaction on those sort of things, something to do with the department, far more than anybody does probably with any legislation that we pass in Harrisburg.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I'm not exactly sure. I know you did do some outreach and trying to address that. I'm not exactly sure even, like, I don't know if it would be helpful that, hey, you can only serve in any one department for, term limit, the amount of time you can work. But there needs to be some sort of oversight. And,
well, to your point,
I don't know that I want the government more involved, but there has to be some sort of check and balance where it's like, no, this has nothing to do with safety. Like, can we get away from state agencies, from any governmental agencies getting involved in the aesthetics of a business? The on the local front, I'm going slightly astray here, but some of the stuff with the signs in this area, it is absurd. If somebody wants to put up a sign, let them put up the freaking sign.
Yeah.
Mind-numbingly stupid stuff.
Well, in your particular case, like, the PUC operates independently to the legislature and the governor. It's an independent commission. So that's even another step of difficulty because, like a department, I can go as a legislator, I can go to the governor, I can go to the governor's people, I can go to the secretary, call them in, yell at them, do whatever. If they don't, I can, maybe try to pass some legislation to affect it. Well, the PUC, other than as a legislator, as a senator, not a House member, I get to vote for who those commission people are. And we've had one from Center County here for some time, a guy by the name of John Coleman, who used to be the president of the chamber. I get to vote for those people, but once they're in, they're independent to me, and they operate the best. Several of those type of independent, the gaming control boards, another, there's many. So that's even another step for you to try and navigate, because when you go to me as a legislator, I don't have sort of that snap ability to change things as I would a little bit more with a department. And then local government, like you said, that's a whole nother another world.
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding, because I'm not sure I did completely understand. So they are truly autonomous? Like, are they accountable to anybody?
Well, they still have regulations and things and laws that they have to implement or adhere to. Like, we can pass a law dealing with issues that the PUC oversees. But as far as, they don't listen to the governor. They don't listen to the legislature. Once they're there, their interpretation of the law. Now, we can take them to court, and people have done that numerous times, and their interpretation of the law. So they still have to follow the law, but they don't, answer to the governor. They're an independent agency outside of the governor, and they don't want, they're set up so they're not influenced by sort of the politics of today. They're influenced by the law, kind of like a judge, not quite the same, but kind of like a judge.
Interesting. Take a break here. We'll be back more with Jay Corman. Again, if you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a ring at 814-954-7266, and we'll continue the conversation with Jay Corman. I want to talk couple of things, one of them being the influence of money in politics, and it's one of those things everybody we got to do something about that, and then I think there's no consensus on what to do about that. We'll kick that around a little bit when we come back. It's Let's Talk on a Tuesday morning.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Seasons change, and so does the equipment you need to handle those changes. From mowing to harvesting and taking care of snow, Goddard Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has what you need to get it done. Still doing construction? Kubota has all the equipment you need. For landscaping, Goddard Equipment has what you need with equipment from Kubota, Steel, and Land Pride. The outdoors isn't all work and no play. Kubota, Honda Power Sports, and Suzuki have that fun covered too. And Goddard Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 has them all. Want to keep your home warm and cozy? Check out the Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces. If you're cutting your own firewood, Daughter Equipment is your steel dealer with a saw that fits your needs perfectly. Daughter Equipment for Kubota, Honda Power Sports, Suzuki, Land Pride, Steel, Crown Royal Outdoor Furnaces, and a great selection of trailers and accessories. See it all now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us online at daughterequipment.com.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning, fine-looking Tuesday at that. Former Pennsylvania Senator Jay Corman, kind enough to join us in studio. We're talking state government, the way things work, maybe in some cases don't work. The money, Jake, I guess... From your perspective, and you ran for governor, I mean, so you've seen it from a lot of different angles. Again, people complain about it. I'm not thrilled with it, but I also don't like the idea of anybody telling somebody else what they can do with their money. That never sits right with me. I don't, just your thoughts on,
look into
money in politics.
So, you know, obviously Citizens United changed the world and the landscape of politics. And the thing that I guess bothers me the most about that decision, I don't mind. I was always sort of unregulated because anytime government gets involved and regulates it, I think it just causes more problems. And then if you just make sure that it's everything's sunshined, and everyone can see it, then people can make a decision. You know, if the trial bar is giving me millions of dollars, you probably know where I'm going to be on their issues. If public employee unions are giving me millions of dollars, same thing. The thing about Citizens United is it sort of took money away from the candidates who are raising money and put it into these nonprofits who don't have the same disclosure rules. And so then, therefore, that's a lot of money. So, you know, I tried to come up with legislation, and I wasn't able to do it, that if you are naming a candidate in an ad, so if someone's doing a negative ad on me, then you have to disclose your funding. If you're just advocating a position, you're advocating, you know, issues, then okay, you don't have to disclose. But if you're entering into the race, per se, then you should have to disclose. And then, again, people can see who's spending the money, who's making these type of decisions. Look, you know, it's a brave new world. We saw the Altoona, or we live in the Altoona Johnstown market. You know, a state house race, which was going to decide the majority of the state house last year. Frank Burns against Amy Bradley. Now, you probably know Amy.
Very well.
I know Amy. Yeah. We know what a good person she is. And I just felt horrible because, you know, all this money was coming in and they were just pummeling her. And they spent more money in that house race than ever in Pennsylvania history, by far. Like $2.5 million for a state house race. They're talking, excuse me, this year, the U.S. Senate race from North Carolina might be $500 million. So even for someone like myself who had to raise a lot of money, who did raise a lot of money, you got to adjust to the system that you're in. It's got me going, whoa. And probably that race, probably because it was a little personal to me because I don't know Amy well, don't get me wrong, but I certainly know her, watched her career, know what a good person she is. To see her just get pummeled like that, I was, you know, from a lot of outside resources, something didn't sit right with me about that.
And it was nonsense. Yeah. I mean, she's the spokesperson. Again, it's you're hiring somebody. It was a flat out lie is what was being told about her. But the nice way to put it would be, well, she was being misportrayed in terms of her role,
right,
within that whole, system. For folks that are aware of what's going on, but I don't know exactly how to go about trying to get a handle on this. It's wrong.
The Citizens United case is the standing essentially case, a law of our country, and I actually represent a firm called American Promise, and American Promise is we're trying to get resolutions out of states to send to the federal government to pass a constitutional amendment, which would take. To allow states to regulate their own races, you know, their own campaign finance, allow states to do it. Look, as frustrated as you may be with state government right now, that's a whole different world in Washington, D.C.
Right,
and the more decisions you can get back to the states, I think, the better. And so campaign finance being one of those, allow the states to regulate at least the state races, state legislative, governor, row offices, local races. Allow the states to be able to, but it would take a constitutional amendment. I can't remember the last time the United States did a constitutional amendment. The last one that got close, think about the difference in the world. 1995, the House passed it. The U.S. Senate was one vote short of a constitutional amendment to balance the budget and federal government, and which every state has, right? And, you know, there was exceptions for national security, you know, Social Security, things like that.
Yep.
There was exceptions, but they were one vote short. The Republican senator from Oregon had just become the appropriations chairman, and Mark Hatfield was his name, and he didn't want to vote for it. And they came up one vote short. The states would have ratified it. And we just think where the world would be today if we would have had that constitutional amendment. But, I mean, that's the process now, is you need a constitution, you know, unless the Supreme Court changes and they have a different case and they make a different ruling, which, you know, is probably decades away. So, you know, we're advocating for that. It's a long shot at best. But I just think if you can get those decisions back to states, you might be able to curtail it and have some common sense to it.
Education is a constant battleground, it feels like. How to fund it, what should be done and I think most folks, you just kind of instinctively feel like it is unfair. There are some school districts that are obviously hurting, and the students that are in those school districts, therefore, are hurting. And there's other districts that have significant advantages just in terms of the resources and what's available. I guess again, an open-ended question, but how do we go about trying to create better opportunities for our kiddos across the board here in Pennsylvania to be educated, and I'll put air quotes here, properly
right.
educated?
Well, I mean, a lot of it starts at home, right? So, like, Philadelphia is, you know, I always hate the term failing school district because I don't believe the professionals in those school districts, the teachers and that, are failing. The biggest issue with Philadelphia isn't money. The biggest issue for Philadelphia is truancy. Kids aren't coming to school, and you can have all the money in the world, but if kids aren't coming to school, and that's that's the responsibility of the parent. And obviously, in many of those homes, you have broken homes. And so either single moms or moms at work, and you have grandparents. So it's hard. But you know, school districts can't do anything if people aren't there in the school. And so money doesn't necessarily equal results by any stretch of imagination. But you do need money to provide a proper education. I just don't think a lot of the school districts are failing because of money. I mean, Philadelphia is in the middle of the road as far as per child, per pupil expenditure. So it's not like they're at the bottom level by any stretch. And obviously, right now, the ones that are hurting because the state government's not sending money to the schools are the smaller rural schools, the poorer schools, because they're relying more on state subsidy than they are the property tax. The taxpayers of Pennsylvania, between property taxes and state subsidy, are paying quite a bit of money for education of their students in the basic ed level. Now, how it's distributed is a different story, because obviously if you're a state college school district, you have a larger tax base. You can raise significant amount of revenue through the tax base, where if you're a Phillipsburg school district, you don't have that same ability. And that's why Phillipsburg relies more on the state subsidy. We passed under Tom Wolf a fair funding formula. Senator Pat Brown from Lehigh Valley sort of chaired that commission, and everyone bought into it. We passed it. It was near unanimous, believe it or not, both sides of the aisle. And we were implementing that in as we went along. But then they still took us to court, and the court case ruled that the state system isn't fair. But the funny thing about that court ruling was it wasn't prescriptive. It didn't say what you needed to do. So you essentially just left it right back in the legislature's hands. So it's a difficult problem as long as you have property taxes and funding part of it and state parting funding, because you're never going to have the same. Look, I had districts like Juniata. They didn't want swimming pools. They didn't want these sort of things. They were just happy with the basics, and so they spent far less than maybe what a state college spent. State college wanted some, and I don't mean to knock swimming pools, but I mean just they wanted some bigger things, and that's fine. That's the local control. If you take it all to the state and like send it out equally, get rid of property taxes, send it all to the state and send it out, each school district, each student gets the same amount of money, then you take out local control. And then it's the state's going to control that. And I don't know that that's...
No.
That's why everyone... we all hate property taxes because we pay them, right? I mean, we got to write the check or it's on our mortgage, whatever. And so that's painful. Dick Armey, who was a majority leader in the House back in the 90s in Congress, said that we should get rid of withholdings, because if people had to write a check to the federal government,
I'm with them 100%.
He said we'd have a revolution. And now compliance would be hard.
Yeah.
But the point is, I don't know you want to lose local control to develop what your school district is. And the only way you keep local control is give local taxing authority. Now, you could expand the property to an income or sales or something if the local community wanted to do that. I was always an advocate of giving the school districts all the options they want and then let the local community work it out.
Yeah, I think I'd be in favor of that. It's similar to what we're talking about with some of those state agencies and commissions, where I don't like the current setup. I don't know that I necessarily want state government more involved, which would be the immediate remedy. Well, yeah, we'll have more oversight from the government and another level of bureaucracy. So I'm not sure with some of these things. I want it different. I'm just not exactly sure how to go about that. But it is
That's the perplexing problem.
And, school security is another issue. And, we had the incident. And I'm still not sure what to make. Another story for another day on what did or didn't happen there in terms of the threat at State College. But that's another whole level now of concern is to what degree, again, do we fund to, and not all schools need the same thing. We want them all safe, but the security in a neighborhood and inner city Philadelphia, it may be different than the 20-person schoolhouse in the middle of Podunk, Pennsylvania.
Look, I mean, we before I left, we started, because of all the different issues going on in schools, and unfortunately schools are soft targets, and therefore people who want to do crazy things look at that as an opportunity. And so we started putting money into school safety and sending out grants and sending out dollars to each school district to be able to, again, design their system, whatever that might be. You know, it kind of broke my heart in 2001 after 9/11. You know, they locked all the doors at the Capitol. You know, you have to funnel through the front door. You have to go through, yeah. You know, and to me, I just like the fact of being able to walk in and out of it. Same thing with a school, right? I mean, just like the fact. I understand why you did it, and you should do it. Don't get me wrong. But it was sad at the point that we got to that. So, look, I you know, my three kids went to public school with the Bellefonte School District, and, you know, manipulating all the sort of things you had to do anytime you went to the school.
Yep.
And Lord knows, I had to drop stuff off at the school all the time because my kids always forgot something.
Right there.
Every level we left, you know, when my third got rid of elementary, got rid of middle, and then got rid of high, I was like, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. I'm using your door here five times a week or something or another. But so, you know, the point was send the money to the school districts, let them decide how best to develop security. You know, there was a big fight over whether they should have guards, you know, security guards.
Yep.
You know, again, that should be a local decision. If Phillipsburg thinks that that's important, then they should be allowed to do it. If State College doesn't, you know, or vice versa, yeah. They, you know, let them decide, send the money to them. Let them figure out how best to secure their schools.
Tell you what, we'll take a break here. One more segment. I want to talk about both just security and how that has changed, even just for the politicians themselves. You know, we had the story this week, Josh Shapiro upgrading pretty substantially on the taxpayers' dime security at his house. I want to talk about that, and I also want to get into the state prison system, and then obviously with that, Rockview, get your thoughts on that. Senator Jay Corman continues with us for one final segment after this on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. former, I guess it's former once you're, yeah. Once a senator, always a senator, maybe, but.
Jake's fine.
Senator Jake Corbin, kind enough to join us in studio. Just talking all things state government. If you want to weigh in or have a question for Senator Corbin, 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the show this morning. Prison reform, I keep threatening another thing that I keep dropping the ball on, but one of these weeks, we're going to devote a few days to prison reform, and there's a lot of different topics to cover with that, because I do think we have people that have paid their penance, have served their time for the crimes that have done. A lot of them, it's just being dumb and young, and getting caught, and then they go out and if given the opportunity, become very productive members in society. But you got to be given that opportunity, and I think a lot of times, folks are like, it's red flag. Hey, you were in prison. I don't know that we want. Sure. And it's like, well, again, now there are those that, yep, they are recurring criminals.
Sure.
And it's like, and again, depending on the crime, if it's, you know, hey, we're stealing from the till, yeah, maybe you're, depending on how closely you're able to watch the money, maybe not have them in the office or that type of thing. It obviously depends on the circumstances, but that's one element. Just how we handle the judicial system, I think, in general, from voting for judges, and Scott and I talk about this every now and then. I'm not sure I'm keen on it. I'm also, I see the problems with, well, let's just appoint them because we'll just appoint the best people. Yes, and that never goes wrong. So I'm not sure what the answer is, again, with some of this stuff, but it does feel like we have some significant issues in terms of the state prison system.
Well, look, I mean, let me quick history lesson here. So Tom Ridge runs for governor in 1894 on a platform of tough on crime. That crime was a major issue in his campaign. And when he was successful, he had a special session on crime, passed a lot of different legislation dealing with mandatory minimums, longer prison sentences, things of that nature, particularly for hardened criminals. You know, part of that was at Rockview, who used to be outside working quite a bit, farming land, they weren't allowed outside the gates anymore.
Yep.
So what happened with that, as well-intended as that was and as well-supported as that was, our prison system exploded. We were getting 1,500 new prisoners a year in Pennsylvania, to the point where under Ed Rendell, he started shipping the prisoners to other states because we couldn't house them. So, you know, as a typical sort of young Republican, when I ran in 1998, I ran on a tough on crime, lock them up, throw away the key. When I got to be appropriation chairman and saw how much this was costing us, I'm like, let's figure out a way to get these people out. So our judiciary chairman back in 2010, a guy named Stu Greenleaf, who shepherded a lot of those Ridge bills in, had a complete epiphany and said, this isn't working. We can't do this. Because 1,500 new prisoners a year, you're essentially building a new prison every year. So we started this new system of equal justice where we tried to figure out a way to target the non violent offenders.
Yep.
Find out other ways to give more flexibility to judges, because before DAs were essentially deciding what your prison sentence will be by what they charge you because of all the mandatory minimums. So over the years, we were able to reduce that significantly to the point, and this, you know, as difficult, as sad as it was for someone who's lived in this community all his life, you know, Rockview's been, you know, here for a century, right? It's something that we've always been part of. In a way, it's a success story that we've come in 15 years or so to the point now we're closing prisons because our population has dropped. Now, I didn't want it to be ours, you know, for the people who live in this community, that work there, you know, it's going to be majorly disruptive. But in some ways, if you want to look at it from a different perspective,
yeah,
it's a success story for the state that we've changed our prison population, that without raising the crime level, the crime rate in Pennsylvania, we've been able to figure out a way to reduce that prison population. We're not only are we not growing 1,500 a year, we're actually reducing the prison population to the point where we can close a prison. So, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction with the, with these things. You know, the judge issue, as you said, as someone who was involved once when I worked for Rick Santorum as U.S. Senator and picking judges, it's called merit selection. It has little to do with merit and more to do with who you know. I can just be honest with you about that. So, you know, the election is difficult, but, and it's hard because, like, when they run statewide, you don't know who these people are.
You don't. And even if you research, like, they all say, well, we're going to try to decide things fairly. Well, yeah, no kidding. Of course, that's what I wanted a judge. Right. Well, that's what they're all saying.
Right.
And, to me, it's just, it's really, really difficult.
I always sort of supported this plan to break up our appellate courts into congressional districts of sorts, where at least you have some sense of their career in the legal world in your area. Could never get that done. That would do a constitutional amendment. The Philly and Pittsburgh always fight against it because they get most, quite frankly, of the judges. To me, that you know, so it didn't do merit selection where it completely out of the voter's hand, but it gave more of a representation of each community. So, I think we're on the right track with it as far as I said, we've reduced our prison population. Our crime rate has not gone up. So I think that's gotten better. The judge thing's always, we're having a campaign out there, whether vote no or vote yes on these judges. I have my own opinion, but, I dealt with these judges. I've known them very well, but that's hard for the average everyday person who doesn't have that interaction. I'm not sure, other than a campaign ad, what you're making that decision on, which is hard.
Yeah, and I do. I worry just in general, not being specific with this year's race and the yes or no on the retention. I think generally speaking, I suspect this at least played a part with Penn State football this year. When you have a job assured, it is easier to have complacency set in. Like, it's more difficult when you're running, constantly running for a seat. It's hard. You can't really just sit back. Well, if you know for the next 10 years, and in all likelihood, for as long as you want to sit there, you're not really going to have to do anything. It's not based on job performance now. I don't see how complacency doesn't set in, at least in a majority of cases. I'm sure there's some really self-motivated individuals that are judges out there, but
judges are like every profession, legislators, you got good ones, announcers, press, you got good ones, you got bad ones. Look, the framers, you take the three branches of government, I'll do this quickly. As I said, the executive branch, most powerful, they're term limited, they got two terms, 2 4-year terms, and then they're out.
Yep.
The legislators, the state house is more representative of the people. Every 2 years they run. State senate, maybe a little less. The joke in Washington is the house is there to do the will of the people, and the senate's there to make sure the will of the people is not done. But they have to constantly run. And then the judges, who are not supposed to be politically driven, are supposed to just make decisions based on the law, have the 10-year terms. So that's how the framers set it up to do the equal powers of government, the three equal branches. Whether they got it right or not, we've been here for almost 250 now, so always open to discussions to make them better. But that's sort of how it was set up. The more powerful has to run often and gets term limited, and then the less powerful is not term limited and doesn't run quite as often.
I want to go back to security for just a moment and safety because it is scary when you see what happened with Charlie Kirk and now a couple of attempts on Donald Trump. What happened at the in Harrisburg with Josh Shapiro and we are in dangerous times. I don't know. Do you feel you were talking about going to the school earlier, and it is annoying when I know I'm not going to do anything. I'm just trying to drop off. But I'm really glad it's there. I really am. When I see what's going on, it's like, oh, all right, well, that does make me feel a little better. Like, not just anybody can wander into the school. And these days, that's a really good thing. Just On the political front, do you have personal concerns? Like when you go out, are you ever thinking, oh man, I'm worried about the setup if you're, especially if you're going to public
meetings? When I was in office, did I get death threats? Yeah. Particularly during the 2020 election process. From both sides of the aisle. I can remember one specific that did bother me was, we know where you live, we know where your kids go to school, we know where you walk your dog, which that made me feel a little better because I don't really walk my dog that much, but so when you get those sort of things, it's discomforting, but most of that stuff I just sort of put off to crazies. But the thing that makes me curious and really bizarre to me is that the person who tried to assassinate Donald Trump, the person who assassinated Charlie Kirk, aren't like these career criminals tied to the mob or some organization. They're just 20-something-year-olds who decided, this is what I'm going to do. And that's really frightening. That just, anyone who's got no history of crime just decides, you know what, I'm going to kill someone today. And whether it's the internet or whatever it is that's driving that attitude, because not only are they doing that, they're destroying their own lives and destroying their lives of their family.
Yeah.
So it's really bizarre to me. But in a free society, which I always advocate on that side, these are sort of the things you have to understand you live with. Now, you do what you can, whether it's protecting schools, whether you're protecting public officials, whatever it may be. Yeah. You do what you can, but I think a policeman said, if someone wants to get you and they're willing to give themselves up, in a free society, there's not a lot you're going to do about it. And that's the unfortunate side of a free society, but I'd rather have the free society as opposed to the alternative.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the criminal element of it is really, I think this is difficult too, and you were touching on it earlier, where, in my perspective on, let's be tough on crime has changed even more since I met my wife, who deals with mental health with young people with her foundation, and the number of people who, young people in particular, but people in general, who turn to alcohol and drugs because of despair or because of mental health issues, like that's why they are choosing that path. And yeah, they are, redeemable or reformable, whatever you want to, but they need to be shown, there is a real purpose, for your being here. And, mm-hmm. Get them a job that they love. Get them on a path. Get them in a family situation, if they're coming from a background that doesn't allow it. And I think that's where it does feel like we're doing a better job as a society of, hey, let's recognize, some of these people are heading down a bad path because they were given very tough circumstances from the start, mm-hmm. and we just need to get them the right help, the right treatment. There are people that will go down that path and you can't pull them back, right. And trying to figure out which ones are which, like that can be difficult.
Well, a repeat offender gets treated far differently than a first offender.
Yep.
And as they should. None of us would probably want to be tied to what our attitudes were, our behaviors were in our 20s or our teens.
Amen.
And I'm at the top of that list. as I got 3 kids now in that area, I'm just hoping they survive that and they get to the point where, they have a little restraint as I barely survived. So, when you do that, make that mistake, you got to understand that is a mistake and there's a penalty to that mistake. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
That penalty, is implemented. Because if it's not, then behavior is not going to change. And then those who rehabilitate and understand, that was wrong. I feel bad about it. And then they become very, very productive. We used to get legislation all the time, someone, some ex-con made did a robbery in a hotel. And they wanted legislation to do background checks in every hotel. Employee. I'm like, well, first of all, where do you think people who have a prison record are going to go get a job? They're going to get jobs in that sort of area.
Yeah.
And if you make the hotel do a background check, well, then the hotel's probably not going to hire them because they don't want the liability. And, if you want these people to reform, they got to get jobs. They got to be able to support themselves. They got to be able to support their families, not turn to crime to do that. So, you know, first time, I think we, you know, there's a lot of forgiveness in our society.
Yeah.
As it grows, you understand the punishment's harder.
Sincerely appreciate the
thought.
We need to do it again.
Anytime.
Some other things.
Back to my days.
This morning. We appreciate it. Jake Gorman, kind enough to join us in the studio this morning. Again, folks, have a great Tuesday. John Ziegler in the second hour tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox Sports.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Say big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox College.
Boss.
You're out, you're about, but you want your Dan Patrick. Well, good news, he goes everywhere with you. If you miss the show, you can podcast it. If you want to see the show, just go to Peacock, and we stream it live every weekday. Watch past episodes, too. The Dan Patrick Show, available anywhere you are, any way you want it.
LSU has pulled the trigger, and Brian Kelly is out at LSU in the middle of his fourth season down there.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
There's a lot of suggestions here on who LSU might go after.
Hosted by the award-winning Dan Patrick and joined by the four Danettes.
Andy Staples covers college football for On Three Sports.
Every weekday, Dan brings you the biggest guests and best interviews in the world of sports.
Rank the job openings right now.
LSU's number one, and then I'd say Florida and Penn State are kind of two and 2A. Florida has had a quick hook, you know, since Urban Meyer, four coaches fired within 4 years. They do not tolerate mediocrity at Florida. LSU has had three of their last four coaches win the national title.
Broadcasting from the man cave.
Do we think Les Miles and Ed Orgeron are all-time great coaches?
You sure about that?
I'm not sure about that.
This is Dan Patrick.
Hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Maybe I should keep my voice down a little bit. Those in Los Angeles who stayed up watching that game, or anywhere else in the country, certainly on the East Coast where it was close to 3 in the morning, East Coast time, 6 hours, 39 minutes. Imagine you get walked 4 times intentionally, another time, maybe unintentionally, intentionally, and you also hit 2 home runs, and you're not the headline. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the 18th inning, and it sounded like this.
Little delivers. Freeman, it's one high in the air. Straight away center field. Marshall at the wall. Gone! Freddie Freeman, Mr. World Series, ends the marathon at midnight.
That's courtesy of AM 570 LA Sports Dodgers Radio. What a game. 18 innings, had a little bit of everything there. Both bullpens exhausted, spent, emptied. And you got Shohei Ohtani, who hits 2 home runs, gets walked 5 times, and he'll be on the mound tonight. That's another thing that you may not be aware of. It's back-to-back-to-back games. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And now all of a sudden, the importance of your starting pitching taking a little bit of the pressure off the bullpen, that will be on display tonight. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the DP Show. This week, primetime debut of Coast to Coast Tuesday. You can see the Knicks taking on the Bucks, and out west, the Clippers and the Warriors. Check your local listings, where you can stream both games on Peacock, which is where you'll find our show. Thank you for downloading the app. Good morning to our radio affiliates. 877-3DP Show. Operator Tyler sitting by. Take your phone call. Hall of Famer, our favorite Steve Young, will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk to Kevin Millar, Major League Baseball Network. He was there in attendance last night in Los Angeles. Reggie Miller will join us coming up as well. They're expecting Lamar Jackson back for the Ravens and the Dolphins. That'll be on Thursday, which is interesting because I thought they might hold him out and give him an extra, 10 days of rest and as you get ready to go into the second half of the season. But you got to win these games. You can't let these because I do think they're going to go on a run. Now, can it be a run where they win 4 or 5 in a row? I do. I do think that. They're not as bad as their record, although that defense has been very suspect. You got to get Lamar back, and then maybe – you know, the AFC North is not that competitive. The Bengals just losing to the Jets. You certainly have the Browns in there. And the Steelers are a good team-ish, but not formidable. All right, poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton?
Yeah, we got up there right now. If you could wave a magic wand and make one of these go away, Paul sent this over earlier, the tush push, intentional walks, load management, or other. You could make one of these things go away. Just wave the magic wand.
Well, I would say load management has a bigger impact on an entire sport than the tush push or an intentional walk. So I would say the magnitude of load management, I'd like to do away with that. I don't know how you do away with that. I don't know how you make these players want to play 75 games. I don't think there's any personal pride in that. I'm going to play through an injury. I get it. There's a lot of money at stake. They're probably like, I don't want to jeopardize anything. The intentional walk, as I said in the first hour, I think you must acknowledge that I can't get you out, and I'm going to make you throw those 4 pitches. Either that or you walk to the plate and you escort the hitter to first base. The tush push, I don't think, is back next year. I just don't. Can't officiate it. Plain and simple, that's it. They can't get it right. And this will be enough for the commissioner to say, we just can't officiate it. Can't do it correctly. For the life of me, I don't know why they can't, but they can't. And I think that'll be the reason.
And see 7 different errors made at one time that I think in real speed, you just can't catch.
Well, that was a fumble in the Giants game. If you're going to let Jalen Hurts continue to move his legs,
That's a fumble, and they missed that. They've had offsides that they've missed numerous times. Where they spot the ball is, you know, sometimes up to anybody's guess. I think that they'll just say, now, you know, when we talk to Dean Blandino, who used to be the head of officials, now works for Fox, he said that he thought, or at least what, and I want to be careful what I say, paraphrasing, that because the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you can't go in there and all of a sudden say we're going to get rid of that play, because then it feels like you're trying to penalize the Eagles because they won the Super Bowl. If they don't win the Super Bowl, then you have the owners' meetings in March, then I think you could probably take this out. And I do think it'll be gone from the game just because they can't find the injury data. There have been a couple of guys banged up, but not enough where you go, oh, you know, like concussions. That I think being able to officiate this is the most important part of this, and the league can fall back on that and say, no, we're not going to allow this anymore because too many bodies, we can't spot the ball, and basically we haven't done a good job with this. Yeah, Paul.
I was thinking, what type of language will the league have to declare the tush push dead? Because it's going to be really tough for them to get rid of it. Now, clearly you want to get rid of the two people pushing from behind, and they kind of did that where you have to start back. You can't be up against them. How about this? I was looking at a top shot of the tush push, and all the players are in a flying wedge. On a normal Eagles play, there's a space, at least a foot between each lineman. On the tush push, they are shoulder to shoulder, and they're pointed inwards from a top shot. If they could somehow remove the lineup, the spacing, or add spacing to the play and make spacing permanent, they can't do the tush push, where the guard and the center cannot be shoulder to shoulder. There has to be a gap.
Okay, but on a quarterback sneak,
yes,
are they shoulder to shoulder?
On a normal quarterback sneak by their team, they're shoulder to shoulder and this wedge pointed in.
Yeah, but if we allow that, then you can't say we're not going to let you do it for the tush push. You're letting them on a quarterback sneak be shoulder to shoulder.
What I'm saying is, you know, there's lots of rules with how the linemen and the receivers have to line up. Imagine if every offensive line had to have gaps between their offensive linemen.
But then you have to, you know, now we have to have a different view of the quarterback sneak.
I know. I don't know.
No. All you have to do is you can still have a quarterback sneak. You just can't have players behind the quarterback pushing him. That's all. We've had the quarterback sneak since we've had football. Nobody's ever said, we can't officiate this. Right? No one's ever said, I don't know how to officiate a quarterback sneak. Just don't let players behind the quarterback. That's all. Problem solved. And the Eagles will still be highly, highly successful. And now you can't go, well, you can't do that. This would be a normal play. A quarterback sneak is a normal play. Yes, Heaton.
But if you took that play out of their playbook, I don't know if they still would be highly successful.
At quarterback sneaks?
Well, I mean, to some degree they would be, but not nearly. They wouldn't have the record that they have now if they weren't able to do that play.
I think that there is data that shows on quarterback sneaks, they were just as successful prior to this tush push, doing the tush push, because they had a great offensive line. Now, I don't know what that data, like 89% of the time they were going to get the first down, something like that. But I do believe because of Jalen Hurts, here's a guy who can squat 600 pounds. There's no other quarterback built like him. I mean, we see Josh Allen, he's too tall, and he got stopped in Kansas City during the playoffs. But with Jalen Hurts, that offensive line, now, it would help if they called offsides where the, you know, guards are jumping a little bit. That would be beneficial, I think, to everybody. But I think that if they ran quarterback sneaks and you took out we're not allowed to block the quarterback from behind, they'd still be successful. Yeah, Paul.
Over the past three seasons, the Eagles are 92% on quarterback sneaks. The rest of the league is 83%.
Okay. Yeah, they'd still be successful. But for the life of me, I don't know why they would go, yeah, we're going to allow you to push from behind. But they did. So the NFL put themselves in this position a long time ago. All right, Steve Young will join us coming up. We will settle on a new poll question as well. I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds. Kansas City with the impressive win last night as they beat the Commanders. The Chiefs and the Lions have the two best odds, according to DraftKings this morning. Then it's the Packers and the Bills. The Colts are still in there. That's going to be, let's see what you do in the postseason. Really feels that way with the Colts. Yeah, good story.
Quarterback. Like, he's had a great season, but let's see.
Yes. Yeah. And I have no problem with that. Because MVP odds, Patrick Mahomes is your leader. Then it's Josh Allen, Drake May, and then a big jump to Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, then Daniel Jones, then Jonathan Taylor, and then Jordan Love. But those are the updated odds off last night, with Kansas City improving to 5-3. 877-3DP-SHOW. Sam in Philly. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how are you? I am calling about the tush push. So is it actually hard to officiate, or are they choosing to just be bad at officiating it? Because as an Eagles fan, that was definitely a fumble that they botched the call on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then for spotting, they got the chips in the ball. They can call off sides on every other play. I think they're just trying to make a case to get rid of it. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know if they're purposely being bad officials, but I don't know how you miss that fumble. Because if Jalen Hurts is still moving, the line is still moving, you know, if Jalen Hurts gives himself up, okay, but he didn't. And the Giants stripped the ball. To me, that was a fumble. Dave in Connecticut. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ben. Hey, yes, I agree with the previous caller. I just don't see how eliminating the push is going to change the officiating challenge that we're having. The chips in the ball is one way to do it, but you still have the downfield pushing that's happening, and I just don't see how changing the push is going to make it easier to officiate.
But nobody ever said we can't officiate a quarterback sneak. I don't remember in my 60 years of watching professional football where somebody goes, how do you call, you know, I don't know what's going on. I can't see. I think we allowed the officials to have sort of gray area there. That we didn't go, that seems like a bad spot. And we didn't have all these cameras. Keep in mind, when I'm growing up, you know, you might have had one angle, and that was it. There wasn't replay for something like this. Now it feels like we get to see everything, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Now, you shouldn't miss offsides. You shouldn't miss motion. Let's just start right there. It's really clear. Everybody is right next, bunched in. Did somebody move before the ball was snapped? Yes, they did. That's all. That's really easy. Spotting the ball, hopefully with the chip, that would help. But if you're still moving and I knock the ball out, that's a fumble. And that's where the officials, they just haven't been able to call it correctly. Consistently, I should say. Brian in L.A. Hi, Bri. What's on your mind today?
Hoi, hoi, DP, Dan Ants. I just want to share a quick stat of the day with you. I know we are all praising Shohei and Will Klein and Freddie Freeman for last night's performance, but there is one unsung hero, and that is country superstar Brad Paisley. You see, Brad Paisley played the national anthem before last night's game, ending in Freddie Freeman's walk-up. He also played the national anthem last year in Game 1, ending in Freddie Freeman's walk-up. He also played in 2018, ending the longest World Series game with Justin Turner's home run. So the real hero of today is Mr. Brad Paisley.
All right. My former video mate. What was that, Gone Fishing? Was that the video I did with Brad Paisley a long, long time ago? I have a plaque somewhere, or one of those records. That is it down the hallway?
Yes, out in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah, he sent me that. Richie, call for Brad Paisley.
Why not? We like him.
All right, yeah, Paul.
If you're the Dodgers, do you bring Brad Paisley back or save it for when you need it?
Well, it'd have to be either tomorrow... Tonight, tomorrow.
You don't push it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would keep it special. I'd keep it special. If I'm Brad Paisley, you want to be associated with those great moments in Dodger history. You don't want to get out there and then all of a sudden they lose like 8-0 and the people go, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. Do we have the, I think Anthony found the Brad Paisley. Was that a platinum record that he has? Gone Fishing? Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Brad, if you're watching on Peacock, that's what Brad Paisley gave me for being in the music video with him. And at the time, I didn't realize that that was his wife or going to be his wife. Wasn't she in Parent Trap or Parenthood?
Oh, Williams?
Williams. And she was there with him. They came up to SportsCenter.
Kimberly Williams.
Yes.
Big time actress.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
So they came into my office, and we're just talking. I think he just said, this is my wife or my fiance or my girlfriend, Kimberly. But I didn't realize that she was in Parenthood.
Father of the Bride.
Oh, okay.
She was a star, Father of the Bride, and Part 2.
Oh, okay.
Checking.
Yeah. And then I remember he wanted to come in and talk to me about doing the introduction for this video. And they left. And then there all these people in the newsroom at the mothership were like, oh, man, that guy had, you know, they knew her. They didn't necessarily know Brad Paisley. And then I'm like, oh, she's an actress? I'm like, yeah, she's an actress. I'm like, okay, yeah, Paul.
Kimberly Williams is also in the brand new hit 911 Nashville.
Oh, okay.
New show. I just saw that. They're using a lot of country stars in that show.
Well, they're from Nashville.
Yep.
That's a home game for them. All right, let me take a break. Steve Young, Hall of Famer, will join us coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanksgiving's around the corner. Traeger is here to help you. And if you haven't cooked a turkey on a Traeger, you haven't lived. You're going to get a memorable meal, and you can talk turkey at Traeger.com. T-R-A-E-G-E-R, Traeger.com. And you got everything that you need. They have actually turkey blend pellets. So that's what you do. You fill it with pellets. It's not charcoal or gas, nothing like that. They have a brine. They have a rub kit there. They have all the spices that you need. And from start to finish, you can even make your sides if you want to on the Traeger. Even dessert and set it and forget it. Usability lets you spend less time cooking and more time connecting. Skip the oven this year and make your Thanksgiving a wood-fired one with Traeger grills. So you go to Traeger.com, T-R-A-E-G-E-R. You're going to see everything that you need. And use the code DAN25 at checkout. You get free shipping. So Traeger.com. Promo code DAN25 and tell them we sent you.
Rising debt, stock market swings, and global shocks can affect your retirement. But even in this economy, there's still opportunity. Protect your retirement with a secure, tax-advantaged gold IRA. Instead of leaving a 401k or IRA at the mercy of markets, hold physical gold or silver. Real protection for your future. And Noble Gold makes it simple. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The conversation is free, and the peace of mind is priceless. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Makita's built for the pros who show up early, who don't do shortcuts, only precise cuts. With tools built to last, job after job, year after year. Performance that pays off, because when the job calls for the best, you answer. And when you need the best, you call on Makita. Built to be the best. Available at the Home Depot.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. It's the place to bet on NBA stars this season. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code Patrick. So code Patrick, you bet $5, you get 3 months of League Pass plus $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-